Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Christian Communicators Live, where we help your ministry grow by sharing insider information from professional speakers and writers.
Well, good afternoon, Christian Communicator listeners. It's nice having you join Vonda Skelton and me, Carolyn Kenefley, today. Hey, Vonda, are you rested after last month's Christian Communicators Conference?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know if we ever really get rested or over the conference because it is just so invigorating and so exciting to see 30 women come from all over the country who go home as best friends. And so it's just a daily reminder of the blessings that we get from it. So, but I am excited that we get to talk on the phone today, or we get to talk with Laurie, and I'll be telling people about how to call in later to get a free book.
Yay! Well, we look forward to you letting us know when we have callers, when the phones are open. But today, our guest is Laurie Combs. Laurie is a 2014 Christian Communicators grad. She's from Nebraska, and she'll be sharing her amazing journey with Jesus, walking with her on the path of how to be forgiving the unforgivable. Well, welcome, Laurie.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're glad you're here. Laurie is joining us today, but before I start asking a few questions about her journey, I believe our audience needs to know a little bit more about you, Laurie.
Okay.
Listening guest, Laurie Combs is a passionate writer and speaker on the issues of forgiveness, redemption, and the hope found in Jesus. She's the author of Letters from My Father's Murder, A Journey of Forgiveness. It's an incredible true story of grace, mercy, and the redemptive power of God. Her story was featured in Billy Graham's film, Heaven, and on many national and regional radio programs. She's a contributor of Vonderven's new NIV Bible for Women, Fresh Insight for Thriving in Today's World. Laurie is a featured writer and blogger in I Believe and Crosswalk. Laurie and her husband, Travis, make their home in Nevada, along with their two daughters. Now, after hearing a bit about Laurie's story, you might be curious to learn a little bit more about her. If you visit her on her website at www.lauriecombs.org, that's lauriecombs.org, or connect with Laurie on Twitter, Facebook, or Pinterest. Well, Laurie, there are journeys that we look forward to, and then there are journeys that we don't even know we're on until we look back.
Absolutely.
Here's your first question. How did your passage of forgiving the unforgettable begin? Where were you when you crossed that starting line?
Well, you know, I actually, at the time of the murder, which actually took place back in 2000, I was a complete and total non-believer. And in fact, I would actually qualify myself more as a scoffer, even. I highly doubted God's existence. I was not at the point of saying that God was not real entirely, because I just kind of figured, you know what, we can't really know either way. So that's where I was back in 2000 when the murder actually took place. Well, fast forward 9 years later. Within those 9 years, I had tried to forgive. You know, it's not just in Christian circles that we hear the benefits of forgiveness. You know, it's even in the world, the world tells us that forgiveness is a good thing. So I was trying to forgive. I was trying to move on. I was trying to pull myself up by those proverbial bootstraps. And, you know, I thought I was doing really well. I thought I was doing really, really well. I was extremely prideful. I had kind of got myself through the entire thing, I thought. And you know, I got to this point where the people around me, they were even kind of giving me accolades. They would tell me, Lori, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you're such a strong person. How do you get through all of this, all the stuff that you went through with what happened with your dad? And I had some serious complications during my first pregnancy. And they said, you know, you got yourself through that. You're such an amazing, strong person. And I thought to myself, you know what? I am. I mean, so prideful. So prideful. Oh, it's terrible. But the thing is that it was right after that that I fell, when I was really at the pinnacle of my pride, that I completely fell apart. And all of that stuff that I had unintentionally buried, all of the pain, all of the anger that I really didn't even necessarily know was there still, all that stuff that I stuffed down resurfaced in the form of anxiety and depression. And for the first time, I was presented with something that I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know how to fix it. And I'm trying all the worldly solutions, you know, trying to eat better and exercise more, see a therapist, make sure, you know, that I'm okay and whatnot. And I fell into this incredibly deep, dark pit. I had no idea what to do. Nothing was working. So as a last resort, I called up my girlfriend, Sarah, and I said, can you tell me about your church? And that was a stretch for me. I mean, that was a last resort to my last resort. My last resort really was to try medication, and when I tried that, even that didn't work. So here I am, just completely desperate, truly and completely desperate, and I'm walking through these church doors for the first time willingly, you know, and I sit down, and the pastor starts preaching on exactly what I was dealing with in that moment. I thought to myself, the sheer probability of that alone is crazy. You know, I'm super analytical. So I left, and it was intriguing enough to bring me back the next weekend and the next weekend and the next weekend every single time. See, God was showing up. And I thought that if you have faith, that you had to have blind faith. But that's simply not true. See, God will meet us exactly where we are. And he met me there, and he gave me the proof that I needed. And it got to the point that I looked back and I said, you know what? With all of these different signs that I'm seeing, there is no other explanation. There has to be. This has to be God. And I gave my life to Christ. Well, within that first year, yeah, okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, that is phenomenal. You went from the pinnacle of pride to the pit of desperation that took you to a church pew where he had the message to meet you.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Oh, I know. Our God is so good. He's just so good.
he is truly, truly outstanding. Well, I have a pop quiz here for you.
Sure.
I've heard before being sentenced at the trial that you told the jury on that day, as you stood in front of the courtroom and came face to face with your father's killer, what did you have to say to everyone that day?
Well, you know, honestly, I primarily wanted to tell them about my dad. You know, I wanted to make my dad real to them. Because I was sitting there for, at this point, about 2 weeks, sitting there listening to, you know, the prosecution and the defense go back and forth, and I'm hearing lie after lie after lie about my dad in an effort for the defense to prove something that actually was not true. So I wanted to make my dad real to them. And now at this point, after, you know, this entire journey with the man who killed my dad, Anthony is his name, and Anthony now actually says that he based his entire defense on a lie. So he has confessed that at this point. But at the time, he was basically saying that it was an accident, and obviously it was no accident. So and I just wanted them to know who my dad really was. And then we were at this phase where he had already been convicted of first-degree murder. but he had not yet been sentenced. So they offered for the victims to go up there and to speak to the court. So I went ahead, I did that, and I left them with a challenge, them being the jury. And I said, until the day of my dad's, or of Anthony's death, we will have to deal with the fact that there is a man who's out there who took our dad's life. How long this murderer will spend in prison is truly left up to you. We encourage you to help our family in the pursuit of justice. I was actually in college at the time, and so I was taking a history class. I came across this quote. I thought it was perfect. It's by Leonardo da Vinci, and I said to the court, I said, you know, Leonardo da Vinci once said, he who does not punish evil commends it to be done. Justice requires power, insight, and will. And then I challenged the court to sentence Anthony to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole, which they went ahead and did.
Wow. You were brave to challenge the court to speak up to make sure they heard about your dad. Can you tell us about when you decided you wanted to tell Anthony about Jesus?
Well, okay, so here I am, a new baby Christian. I'm just saved, and within that first year, I literally witnessed God do amazing things in me, things that I did not think was possible. See, I was truly not okay, but he gave me a sound mind again. It was incredible. And I received the healing that I needed for this anxiety and depression. So I knew what my God could do, right? I knew that he was capable of anything. So a year after I came to Christ, I was still struggling, and you know, we all have our struggles. It's not, we're not saved as imperfect, you know. So
yes,
the thing
yes.
that I was struggling with at that time was irritability. And I was irritable all the time, all the time. I'm irritable all the time. I'm not now, but then I was irritable all the time, and I'm snapping at my kids for nothing. I mean, they're not doing anything, and I would just snap at them. Same thing with my husband. And as I'm doing it, I'm literally thinking in my head, what am I doing? Just shut your mouth, you know? And it was terrible. I mean, absolutely terrible. And I just felt like I was at the complete mercy of my emotions. And I could no longer control it. I could no longer be the nice girl that I always wanted to strive to be, you know? So I'm crying out to God, and I'm saying, God, what is this? I mean, this is ugly. This is very, very ugly. What is this? And he showed me that I was angry. But I was a little confused, because it's not as if I felt angry all the time. I was quick to anger, and I felt irritable all the time, but I didn't always feel angry. But then he started to show me that it was an anger that was so deep-seated that it had really transformed into bitterness. And it was ugly. I mean, so unbelievably ugly. I mean, we know bitter people. And I remember as a non-believer seeing people who were bitter. And I swore, I said, I will never be like one of those kind of people. But then I had become one. Oh, it was terrible. Just terrible. So here I am being confronted with God. He's showing me that I've become just like the very people that I don't like, right? And I'm crying out to him saying, God, you've got to fix me. This is not okay with me. I cannot be this person. I don't like who I am. And that's when I felt his gentle whisper, Lori, it's time to forgive. So then he took it a step further. I was reading a Billy Graham book, actually, and I was just trying to figure out how to do this Christian thing, you know, and it's called The Journey. And in there, in a brief section, he spoke about or wrote about loving your enemy, and I knew exactly who God was talking about. I knew exactly. So I cried out to God, and I said, okay, God, I get this whole forgiveness thing. See, I wanted to forgive, but I didn't want to love my enemy. And so I cried out, and I said, but love my enemy? How am I to do that? And immediately, it was more of like a thought that was planted as soon as I cried out to God and I heard, bring him a Bible. So that's how it got started. Yeah.
Wow. That's one of the best gifts we can give anyone is the word. So did
Absolutely.
You take it in?
Well,
what
I tried. You know, I tried, but I was actually denied by the warden. And I was so confused because I knew that I knew that I knew what God was calling me to do. I knew it. But what's so incredible is that that was God setting me on the path. That was what it took for him to get me to write the first letter. I wrote the first letter intending simply to let Anthony know that I'm not coming there in a spirit of vengeance. I just want to ask him some questions, and I had something that I wanted to give him. Anthony would also have to approve my visit, so I was told that. So that's why I wrote this first letter, never intending to have correspondence with him. I thought that I would just go there, bring him the Bible, and ask the questions I've always wanted to ask, and ta-da, I'm all better, right? That's how I thought I was going to go. But, wait, no, not at all. Right. Not at all. I mean, God's plans are far greater than our own. Anthony has since said, and I completely agree with this, that had I been allowed to do that, to go there and to bring him that Bible right away, had I been able to do that, Anthony would have offered a half-hearted I'm sorry. I would have offered a half-hearted I forgive you. And that's as far as it would have gone. But God did something so incredible here. See, this set me on the path, like I said, and then I was denied, and I'm wrestling with that, trying to figure out, I don't understand. Don't you just level the path I walk on? I mean, aren't you supposed to just, you know, make my path straight and open all the doors so that I could do what you're calling me to do? But ultimately, it was him leading me down to the path that would ultimately result in what has happened, which is just incredible. So then the correspondence continued. So once I was denied, I got to the point where at that point we had already kind of, we were in it. We were already there. We're doing this, you know. So the correspondence continued. And through the correspondence, we were able to go so much deeper than had we met in person.
Oh, wow. Well, Fonda, this is a time if you want to just tell our guests, our listeners, what they need to do.
Oh, boy, this is so awesome. I just love hearing your story, and I know the story, but yet to hear the excitement in your voice as you tell what God did, what a blessing that is, Lori. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
But we do want to give an opportunity for anyone in our listening audience who would like to call in with a question for Lori. That number is 347-843-4920. And if you call in and we're in the middle of a discussion, if you'll just hang on, we'll get to you as soon as we can. And there's a free book of Lori's book, a free copy for the first caller. So, all right, I can't wait to hear more, Lori.
Have a caller here who's anxious to ask you a question. So
Absolutely.
Caller from area code 757, first digit in your phone number is 8. You are welcome to ask your question.
Hi, this is a question for Lori. My name is Yvonne.
Yeah, hi, Yvonne.
Hi. I want to know exactly how long it took you to go through that process, and also if your family or friends said, we notice a difference in your behavior or your attitude, and not for the better, at first when you were going through the anger and bitterness.
Oh, right. So, when I was called to forgive Anthony, to embark kind of on my forgiveness journey, if you will, from that point until the point where God enabled the forgiveness in me, and I say that deliberately because we cannot forgive on our own. It is our God who works it in us and through us. So from the beginning until that point, it was about 8 or 9 months. Now, the journey wasn't over, but that's when he completed that forgiveness work in my heart. Now, the irritability was pretty much there for a while. So I don't think it got worse because it was pretty bad to begin with. I know that's terrible. But I do have to say that it was this journey was one of the most difficult journeys that I have ever been on. It was I was not always pleasant along the way, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other part of my question was, did other people, oh, I'm sure they noticed, but did they say anything to you?
Not as I was going through the journey. I can say, however, that after the forgiveness was complete in my heart, people were looking at me and they were like, what has happened to you? This is amazing. I mean, they had already seen God's transformation in me within that first year. But then once that forgiveness was complete, so this was about, it was a little shy of 2 years after becoming a Christian. It was just, yes, it was astounding, the difference that they saw. And I did have many, many, many people come up to me and say, what has happened to you? In fact, my old roommate, I had a roommate who was a man. I was talking to him shortly after all of this had happened, and he said, so I have heard rumors. What's going on? What happened between you? And he actually was my roommate at the time of the murder. Mm-hmm. And I told him what God had done. He's a non-believer. And he looked at me and he said, wow, the Lori that I knew would have just told this guy to, and he used an expletive, just like just to go, you know, hit the road or whatever. I'm just improvising here. And he said, but I cannot believe what you've just told me. I mean, he was astounded. Like, it was like his jaw was completely dropped. Like, what happened to you? You know, and I said, well, Jesus happened to me. So, yeah.
Wow. Well, Lori, you have decided to write a book, and
right.
You have been telling your story for a little bit. Can you share with us some of the reactions that readers and listeners to your story?
The reaction is amazing. I mean, absolutely amazing. Each time I've been given the opportunity to share my story publicly in person, especially, that's when you really see it, you know. And I have many, many, many people just lined up with tears in their eyes. And what they're saying is, okay, I'm ready to embark on my journey. And it's just so cool to see. And that's what this is all about. You know, I initially, when I was called to write the book, I kind of wrestled with it. I have to be honest. I wrestled with writing the book more so than even the call to have correspondence with the man who murdered my dad. And I was so confused about that. I was so ready to say, yes, okay, you want me to have correspondence with a murderer? Okay, I'm in. Yeah, totally. But then when I was called to write the book, I was like, no, I don't really want to do that. Why? It made no sense, but it threw a lot of prayer and just like asking God, what's going on with this? This is interesting. What I really started to see was that when I was called to write the book, there were several things that were happening. One, I was really called to bear it all, and publicly. This was no longer going to be private any longer. Mm. Then I also knew that I'd have to share some really difficult things, and I didn't want to do that. But ultimately, God started showing me that you do this, and as soon as you do this, then I will use this story in other people's lives to have them be healed as you have been healed. And how could I refuse that, right? But in another part of it, the component too, was that when God, and I think this would be is an important thing for some of the listeners of Christian Communicators, when I was called to write the book, I was now being called to lifelong ministry. So my resistance So when I was called to actually forgive, I felt like on a task, if that makes sense. When I was called to write the book, I was now being called to lay down all of any other plans that I would have had for my life. And now I was called to ministry for Jesus.
Wow.
That was significant as well. So,
awesome. Well, how did they contact you from the Billy Graham group for doing the film? How did they hear about you?
I don't know. I don't know how they heard about me. They did hear about me from my blog, but I don't know how they got there. It was such a God thing. I mean, I just have to say it was such a God thing, because at that point, it's not as if I had, you know, thousands and thousands of subscribers and, you know, all of this stuff. I was just trying to be faithful in the little things and do daily what God was calling me to do. So I was writing on my blog, and at that point I was finishing up my manuscript. And, oh boy, you know, it was just such an incredible season because I literally was at the point where I was writing a chapter a week. And then I got the message from the Billy Graham group saying, hey, would you, we were interested in talking to you about to see whether or not your story would fit for the project that we're working on. And at first, I mean, I kind of took a double take at it, like, is this real? Really? Is that real? Is this a scam? So, but then I ended up, it was spring break of not this last spring, but the spring before, and my girls were home, and the next morning I was taking them to go to the Sacramento Zoo, Sacramento, California Zoo, which is about 2.5 hours away, and so they said, we need to talk to you, and we were wondering if you could talk to us in the morning, and I'm like, I'm leaving at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock in the morning to take my girls to. So I wrote back and I said, okay, if this is really from God, you know, my family does come first. I'm not going to cancel. The girls are so excited to go to the zoo, right? I can't cancel that. So I wrote back and I said, I would love to talk with you. I have some time between 6 o'clock in the morning and 7 o'clock in the morning, Pacific time, if that works for you. You know, they're, of course, East Coast time, so it wasn't too bad for them. But I gave them this small window, and I said, I'd love to talk, but I'm taking my girl to the zoo. I hope you can understand. And so my husband goes, they're not going to call. You just gave them the smallest window. And I said, I know, but my girls have to come first. So they ended up calling the next morning. I talked to them. I think it was still dark outside, and I'm like, I'm like, okay, I gotta go. I'm going to the zoo. So yes, it was quite a story. Right. Exactly.
That
when we fleece him with a time frame, but being willing, and the Billy Graham people showed that they were for real, and God wanted
your
story out.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's so true. And I do have to say, working with them was, oh my goodness, it was amazing working with them. They are the real deal. They are absolutely the real deal. They came out here and you could just feel the presence of God with them and their grace. And, you know, just another super quick story. It was the weekend of Mother's Day that they came, but they were gone for Mother's Day. But and my daughter was having a special Mother's Day thing at school, and it just so happened to be on one of the 2 days that they were here to film. And I said, oh my gosh, I can't not be there. I can't be the only mom who's not there. She can't not have her mommy on her Mother's Day little celebration in her classroom. So I talked to them, and I said, you know, and this was just, it's another testament to them, you know. And I said, it would only be a half an hour. Can I scoot out just for a half an hour just to go, just to make sure that my daughter isn't the only one that, who doesn't have her mommy there? And they said, of course we can do that. And they redid every, and it was not like okay, fine. It was, you have to be there. Of course, you know.
Yeah.
So, yes, and they were just so full of grace.
Lori, we are so enjoying visiting with you today. I'm afraid our time is out, but
yes.
I want to tell our listeners, if they want to hear more, to go to your website at www.loricombs, that's LauriCombs.org, and her book is Letters from My Father's Murderer, A Journey of Forgiveness. Oh, listeners, thank you for joining Vonda and I today. Without you, there'd be no reason for Christian Communicators Live. Thank you for your encouragement to our ministry. And if you feel called to speak and don't know where to begin, or perhaps you're already speaking but want to learn more about how to grow your outreach and connect with other Christian women speakers, Vonda and I would love for you to visit us at ChristianCommunicators.com. You'll find blogs, events, and conferences dates. So
So thank you for joining in. Vonda and I hope you'll listen and visit with us again next month. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That comes from 2 Corinthians 13:14. Goodbye, and may the Lord bless you in all things.
Bye-bye.
Bye
Thank
now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye, Lori.
Bye.
Bye.